Radio 1 Podcast. Radio 1 Podcast. Download them for free at bbc.co.uk/Radio 1.
Now. The Scott Mills Daily.
Hello. What about a weekend then?
From BBC Radio 1.
We've made it to Friday. There's generally an air of disappointment about today's IOBF on the text. I'm sorry, I had 4 hours sleep last night. I'm not on my game. But what was it? Was it the choice of music? Was it the way I did the... What was it? Like, if you're going to send in comments like that, then at least be constructive about them and let me know where I went wrong so I can never do it again. We met Bradley Cooper, guy off The Hangover and The A-Team and his new film, which I went to see yesterday, which is amazing. You will hear what happened when we met Bradley Cooper this morning after 4:30 this afternoon. Very nice bloke. Very funny as well.
The Scott Mills Daily.
A little bit nervous because I'm confirmed for something for the weekend on Sunday. I'm going on that TV show. I love that show.
So do I. That's amazing.
Last time I went on it, I had to chop an onion. And I'm hoping this time will be as easy. The good thing is, it's not just me. I'm going to be on with Katie Derham off of the news. And she is a really good cook. And I think we've got to make something like a leek risotto. But
you'll just be chopping onions again.
I'm going to be chopping onions again.
Is that why they put you on? To just chop the onions? Like every time they do an onion dish, then they just call you and well, you're like the sous chef.
A little bit scared when Merz was on, Ollie Merz, a couple of weeks ago, because he can't even put stuff in a microwave. Still got away with it. It's amazing what you can do. So the leek risotto made by Kate Darren with me chopping onions, probably not even putting the onions in, but just chopping them. Mm. And talking about the Comet Relief trek, the Red Nose trek, which is going to be on TV. The documentary of that is going to be on the night before Red Nose Day. Red Nose Day is next Friday, and it's going to be on Thursday night on BBC One at 9 p.m.
Radio 1 Podcasts.
Podcast.
I want to tell you all the amazing things that you can download on what has been a good week on the show. Scott Mills Daily Podcast at bbc.co.uk/radio1. It's available now for free and includes lots of stuff like this. Hi, Ginny. It's Scott Mills here from Radio 1.
Hello. Hi.
I'm a bit tired today.
Right.
So, if it's all right with you, I need a piggyback home from Radio 1 at 7 p.m. tonight.
Right. That's a bit strange.
Not really. Why?
Because I've never met you, I guess.
Do you remember somebody from my show coming up to you yesterday?
I do.
And you did sign some terms and conditions.
And we didn't read them.
Oh.
We
didn't.
11. I agree to give Scott a piggyback home from work any day he requires one due to his tireless and exhausting charity work.
Amy, off of Eastbourne, thinks that Rabina, on this episode of Come Dine With Me, meant to say that the main course took her by surprise.
The main took me from behind. I thought I wasn't going to like it.
Maybe you could get £5 from doing this.
I will select your lottery numbers for the next 5 weeks for £5.
This might be a stupid question, but there's nothing you can do if I, say, went halves with you.
Me?
Well, you do the draw.
I obviously don't know the numbers.
Can you not?
Because it's live.
Yeah, I know, but if you see the number sort of, you know, where it picks it up, can you not just give it a kick and just sort of, if it goes back down to the bottom and get another go?
No, because I think that would look a bit suspicious. If I kick Guinevere. It's not like the vending machine out there.
No?
You get two twirls if you push hard enough. Will they sing in the hairdressers or not?
Well, it depends if the person at the basin is one of the sugar babes. Because if it is, I reckon Heidi would definitely go along with it.
I'm working on it just to know.
Just to know
that you're there.
Everybody.
I can't believe you did it.
What do you mean?
You look genuinely disappointed in us.
I Can Write, a short fiction story based on your child and his slash her fantasy experience.
All right. Once upon a time, there was a boy, two boys called Bob and Doug. They were one day walking down the road and they saw a magical mushroom on the side of the road.
No.
I meant toadstool.
Yeah, let's leave that.
Once upon a time.
I'd rather we didn't do this again.
Move on?
Yeah, let's move on. All on the Scott Mills Daily Podcast for free. Download it over the weekend, why don't you? bbc.co.uk/Radio 1.
Radio 1 Podcasts.
Radio 1 Podcasts. Podcasts.
Bradley Cooper, hello. Welcome to Radio 1.
Thank you for having me.
So, how long are you in Britain for?
Till tomorrow morning. Then I head back, unfortunately, to New York. I love New York, but it's beautiful. London's beautiful right now.
Any trouble while you've been here? Because we had Ashton Kutcher in a couple of weeks ago, and it all went wrong. He got involved in a fight.
Did he really?
Well, he broke a fight up in Chinatown.
Yeah. Did he regale you with that story?
He did. It was, I think he kind of embellished it slightly.
Good for him.
Apparently he got in there, went all like superhero, oh, leave it lads, all that kind of thing.
But really? And he actually said, leave it lads? Because no. That would get him. He should get hit just for that.
Yeah, absolutely. So nothing like that's happened to you.
No,
it's all been quite uneventful, really.
Completely. I mean, what crazy thing? I had salmon on a bagel this morning.
Woo!
And then I went nuts. I put a little prosciutto on a croissant.
Ooh, very good.
Yeah, right?
Have you been staying in the hotel mostly? Or you know the room service menu?
we've been traveling all over the city just doing press. So, but I just love that hotel. I know, my life is lame.
Maybe you could live in the hotel when you come back, because like Lindsay Lohan lived in that hotel in LA for about 3 years. It's a bit weird, isn't it?
Maybe.
What's that about?
But was it the Chateau Marmont?
Yeah,
yeah. Everybody lives there. That's where John Belushi died.
Yeah,
yeah.
Well, so people just literally.
Yeah, people actually
check
actually
out
come
and don't leave.
Yeah, yeah. That is a bit of a place where it seems that when people come to work and they have like 6 months on a movie, they'll just live at the hotel.
Why not just rent a house?
Because they have these little bungalows, they call them, which are like little houses. Mm. Like on the business, fascinating.
Yeah. It's fascinating to me. Carry on.
Oh, good. Yeah, because I actually am interested in it. I find hotels to be fascinating, actually.
Me too.
Yeah.
I've even got some of those books where you can just look at pictures of hotels.
I have those books.
Do you?
I do.
Yeah. And you think, one day, I'm going to go there.
I can't tell if you're just winding me up.
Absolutely not.
I really do
look
at those books,
too. I love it.
I know, it's so weird.
I've got hip hotels, 1, 2, and 3.
Yeah, Relais and Chateau, yeah. Those little boutique.
All that. But
yeah.
Yeah. What names do you check under when you're in the hotel? Do you do different ones? Because if I was you, I'd do that all the time.
I just do one, which I Joseph Merrick.
Right. You're going to have to change that now, obviously.
I know. But I figure it doesn't really matter. You could figure out where someone is. It doesn't matter.
Okay. Do you ever make things up in interviews? Because I think if I was doing...
People do. I tend to... That takes too much effort. It's like, why don't you just tell the truth? For me, it's like... When I first started, I used to do that. We used to do this play, this game, Press Junkets, where you have to just put a word in... Before the interviewer, you say, you know that game? Yeah, yeah, yeah. But then it's just too much. It's just too hard.
Yeah. I just think I'd make up anecdotes to make my life a lot more interesting.
I would just get guilty about it.
Would you? Yeah. And it would come back to haunt you because it would be online forever and they'd be like, well, no, I didn't win that championship.
Right, right.
You know?
Right.
It all gets a bit weird. How?
It's a lot to remember, too.
It is a lot to remember. Yeah, yeah. How comfortably does it sit with you being a sex symbol?
It's all just sort of... a joke, really. I mean, it's nothing I have to deal with at all. I mean, that's wonderful. People think that. That's very shocking.
Shocking?
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
I love the way you looked at me just then.
Well, if I looked in the mirror and I looked like you, I wouldn't find it that shocking.
Well, did you see the beginning of Limitless? Have you seen the movie?
Actually, yes. I saw it yesterday. And now I see what you mean a little bit. It's amazing what you can do, isn't it? It's amazing how quickly you can dress down. Wow. But Zach says...
That's what I see.
Every day. But Zach, who you work with on The Hangover, says everyone has a crush on you.
He does. Well, he's just he's deflecting because everyone has a crush on him.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Well, maybe I just do. Maybe I'm just helplessly in love with Zach.
Because Fern Cotton has a massive crush on you, and she's devastated because she didn't realize you were coming in, and she's wearing an old rubbish hoodie.
Is that her with the
blonde
hair?
Might be listening to us. Yeah, that's Fern right there. But yeah, she's got it bad.
Well, I could tell she looks very upset.
Completely indifferent.
She really looks like she's really
Fern.
She says hi.
Hey.
Look at her face. Hi Fern.
She has you as her desktop on her work computer.
No. Seriously?
She does. Yeah.
Yeah, this is awkward. She's saying it's awkward. Let's move on. Good. Now, let's talk about the film Limitless, which I saw yesterday and is awesome.
You did like it?
Absolutely.
Oh, good.
So good.
It's good, right? I mean, it's really unique. Good. It's definitely very different.
You play a bloke called Eddie Mora.
Yep.
And your life gets transformed from the kind of slight down and out that you were at the beginning of the film. By this top secret drug, which comes in the form of a clear pill and kind of gives you unlimited brain power. So you can achieve things extra fast and become brilliant at loads of things.
It's basically accessing all of your brain potential.
This is a brilliant idea for
a film. It's pretty good. You know what's great about it, I think, is that it's not that far from plausible.
Yeah.
You know, and that's why when you think, you're like, oh my God.
See, I don't really like films that are too far-fetched, where I was like, well, I can't get my head around that.
Right, and this is not.
Not really.
No, like, is this a decade away?
Yeah.
And if it is, what's going to happen? Because he's on a completely different playing field than everybody else.
And also, there's the downside, which, I mean, we can't say too much because people want to go and see the film, but drugs are bad.
Yeah.
And it does go, it goes wrong.
Yeah, it goes very wrong, very fast. And he has to rely on the drug to sort of kick the drug. It's this very interesting thing about power, I think.
Yeah. I'm quite jealous as well because, you know, there's the bit where you learn a language while you're running along.
Yeah, right.
It takes you about 2 seconds.
Yeah, it's insane. I know.
So
annoying. You just want to throw them off the bridge.
Well, I'm a bit jealous because I bought this How to Learn Arabic CD box set. It's 3 CDs. Yeah.
First of all, you chose a very difficult language.
Well, I did, but you could have done it in the film.
Right,
you'd done that. You'd nailed that in like 2 days.
Yeah. Not me, Eddie Mora.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because you're looking at me with anger.
I am.
I have nothing to do with it.
Just playing a character. But I was jealous because I've not even bothered to touch the box set yet.
Oh,
it's just,
well, then you
had too much hard work.
I bet you it looks very cool in your place, though.
It did at the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
God, this guy's a real go-getter.
Yeah. What was it like working with Robert De Niro? Did you feel nervous about that?
You know, I would have felt much more nervous if I hadn't had previous encounters with him. Not to his knowledge, I don't think, that he remembers. But he came to my school I was attending, and spoke, and I asked him a question inside the Actor's Studio. Do they have that show here?
Yes.
You ever heard of that? Yeah. Mm. And then I put myself on tape to play a role, his son, in a movie that he saw the tape, and then he asked to meet me. So I met him for like 15 minutes. He didn't remember any of these things. And then and then I was on the jury for the Tribeca Film Festival 2 years ago. So you got to see him in various events because he runs the whole thing. And I went up to him and I said, hey, Mr. De Niro, you know, we met in the last year when I auditioned. And he went, this boy's life. This boy's life. I mean, you thought I was 12? I thought, oh, that's just so wonderful. What a Hollywood story. And then cut to a year later, I'm in his hotel room trying to talk him into doing Limitless.
That's madness.
It's just crazy. And then the next day he said yes. And then, 2 months later, we're sitting in a campaign office doing that scene.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just nuts.
He's great in it as well.
He's great, isn't he?
Yeah.
How about that scene when he tells me, just like, you know, just dresses me down? Unbelievable.
Totally.
Yeah.
How does one go about doing that? Well, do you get his number and text him and go, hi, Rob? And then it leads to a meeting?
No, it was we heard that he had read the script and was interested, but he needed convincing. So Leslie Dixon, who wrote the script, wrote some more dialogue. Neil Berger called him, and then I went to his hotel and pitched him an idea. And then he actually gave me his number at that meeting. At the end, remember, he went,
what did you save it as?
He said, I'm not going to say that. Because in case my phone ever gets stolen.
That's true. Yeah. Well, put a passcode on it.
I do. but still, you never know. I'm so.
No, to be honest, if I had Robert De Niro's phone number, I probably wouldn't put him in as Robert De Niro.
But I'm one of those idiots. I can't remember anything, so I literally put the full name. The full name.
Yeah.
I'm so screwed.
Brad Pitt.
Right, Julia Roberts.
Yeah, you are. It's not going to go well for you.
No, I'll never get another job.
The taxi driver that finds your phone will be like, hi, Julia.
But he gave me his cell number then after the meeting. And I came up with this other idea because I didn't know if he was going to do it yet. I remember I pulled over to the side of the road and I called him like 10 minutes after I left the hotel. I thought, God, he's going to think I'm like a stalker. Mm. And he was like, hello? I said, hey, Bob, because at that point he had, in the meeting, it switched.
Oh, we're on to Bob now, are we?
It switched. Oh. It switched in the meeting from Robert De Niro to Bob. I don't know how it happened, but it
did. I love it, though, yeah.
And I just ran with it.
Yeah, of course.
I was like, Bob, I just have this idea. I think Carl Van Loon, da-da-da-da-da. And he went, yeah, okay, good.
And that was it.
And I thought, he's either going to call his agent and say, this guy is like, forget it. He's way too, you know.
A bit keen.
Yeah. And then, or he would be like, you know what? I like these guys' ideas. Let's do it.
And thankfully.
Thankfully he did that.
Yep. Excellent.
Yeah.
What about Hangover 2? Is that film done?
Done. Finished. In the Can. Comes out May 26th.
And that's in Bangkok.
Bangkok. Yeah. Stu gets married in Thailand. So that brings us all across to the Southeast Asian land.
Which I think, in a way, Bangkok could be, you could probably do more bad things in Bangkok than
Bangkok's
ever
Vegas
in Vegas.
Oh, yeah, forget it. It's like Vegas on steroids. Yeah. It is. And we knew that, too, because we shot a month in L.A., and we were thinking, hey, God, is this working? And then we got to Bangkok, and it was like, yep.
Yeah. Does that happen sometimes when you're in the middle of a film, and like you just said, you're thinking, oh, maybe this isn't going to be any good?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it happens from day to day sometimes on a movie set. But sometimes you just say it not to jinx yourself. You know, you can tell if it's really not working. That you know if it's just.
Has this happened to you?
Oh, yeah.
On films or on TV?
Both.
Wow.
Yeah, you just know it. Yeah, you just know it. And I'm almost never wrong. I mean, I got to say, although, you know what? I really thought A-Team was going to be good. And I think I liked the movie a lot. I was surprised it didn't do as well as it did.
Mm. So, because it felt good as you were going along.
It did.
With it.
You know, I knew it was going to be complicated, and it would be a lot. It would be a very. I don't know if you saw it, but it'd be a complicated storyline. But I thought, like, God, I really feel the camaraderie of these four guys. That it's going to be that's going to be a good hook. And I thought the movie worked. I thought Joe Carnahan did a great job. Mm. So I thought, I mean, it did fine, but it didn't make enough to.
You were expecting more.
I thought we'd be doing a sequel.
And you're not.
No.
That's it.
Wow.
But Hangover, like classic movie, you've got to do a sequel for that. Were you worried though about it being a, you know, there's always a danger with sequels that it could be Sex and the City 2.
I mean, look, we have a lot to live up to, you know, and I think the key was that we enjoyed it so much, and the script, the second script, was better than the first, I think, and we didn't really go at it going, oh my god, we have to beat the first one. We just saw it like, I can't believe we're playing these guys again. I mean, I couldn't believe I was playing Phil Winnick again. Never would you ever say to me, you know, by the way, you're going to do a second movie, as I'm telling Stu to leave the baby with the tiger in the hotel room. You know, I thought I'd probably never get hired again after playing this character, let alone do a sequel.
That must have been so much fun to do that.
It was. It really was.
Was the second one even more fun?
It was more gratifying, but at the same time, much harder. It was a very difficult shoot. It was the hardest shoot I've ever had by far. I mean,
why?
I tore my hamstring in A-Team. It was 6 months in Vancouver. This one, I don't know why, but it was like Apocalypse Now, the comedy. I mean, Todd Phillips felt the same way. Hardest thing he's ever done. Zachy, too, and Ed, all of us. It was the hardest movie we've ever done.
Why so hard?
I don't even know. Honestly, I can't put my finger on it. Like, logistically, maybe, in Bangkok? Mm. I don't know. It was just. And I loved Bangkok. I loved the food. Everybody got sick, but it didn't matter. Mm. But I don't know. It was really hard. It was like trudging through each day.
Because did you do your own stunts on Limitless as well?
Yeah, everything but the jumping off the cliff.
Oh, you didn't do that?
No, didn't do that.
Oh, that's disappointing.
Yeah, I'm sorry. And you're like, what other stunt was there? I ran, I opened a door.
You ran along, you ran along learning a language.
I I jogged, I danced with a lot of women.
Well done. Now, there's a whole thing which obviously isn't happening because the movie is made
Charlie Sheen,
about Charlie Sheen.
Yeah,
what do you make of all that thing with him?
What's been happening?
Yeah.
Fascinating. I think it's fascinating.
Do you ever fancy going off the rails a bit?
Meaning?
Just not maybe you're there, maybe, I don't know, getting a wife and a girlfriend and a lady of the night and going on holiday with them all together at the same time?
I don't feel that I mean, I have nothing against that, but I don't feel that there's anything to go off the rails for in my life. I mean, it's not like, oh my God, I'm living this straight and narrow and I gotta let loose.
Just not that kind of person.
Well, I don't, I just know that my life now is, I'm just happy to be present for it, to be honest with you. So that, you know, everything else is gravy.
You don't seem to be the type to just start going, you know, tiger blood, superhuman. You just don't strike me as that kind of guy.
Well, I mean, if I had a reason to say it, I would. If I had tiger blood, of course, I would shout from the rooftops.
You would.
Of course.
But you don't.
But I don't have, unfortunately, I don't have tiger blood.
Bradley Cooper, it was an absolute pleasure meeting you. Thank you so much.
I'm glad you liked the movie.
Radio 1 Podcast.
Radio 1 Podcast. That was the Scott Mills Daily. Why not try the best of Chris Moyles? Available now to download for free at bbc.co.uk/radio1.